My name is Brenda. In 2005, I had a problem. I started watching QVC, and before it was over, I had spent $30,000, which it has been total chaos in my marriage since then, so I regret it so much.
Oh, thank you for telling us that. Ouch. Listen, money's a big deal in marriage, and it's one of the five essentials that we talk about here at the Intentional Living Center. We talk about money. God talked a lot about it. And in your marriage, if you guys aren't on the same page, you got big, big problems. Did you know that the research shows that one in five, that's 20% of Americans, have spent $500 or more on a purchase without their partner's knowledge? That's according to creditcard.com. 26% of men have spent $500 without notifying their so-called significant other versus only 14% of women. I think there's sort of a thought that this would be a women's issue and not a men's issue, but it's both, mostly men, in fact. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center today, and the question is, have you spent money behind your spouse's back, or do you have money hid behind their back, or do they? Scary thought, isn't it? The research shows that approximately 7.2 million Americans have hidden a bank or credit card account from their spouse or partner, live-in spouse or partner. And of course, we know that the research is pretty clear that money is often cited as the cause of divorce and certainly at the top of the list of problems that occur in marriages. I believe it's often already a troubled marriage and money is just another symptom, but money certainly is one of the roots that we got to look at. So today, how to get intentional. And I wrote down here, if I had one thing to share with you at this point about this topic, about hiding money from your spouse, it would be don't do it. I mean, that's about as intentional as you get. Don't do it. And if you've done it, get it right. Make it right. And I'm sure we're going to hear, because I've talked to people on this topic over the years. Someone's going to say, you don't understand. My husband or my wife is so irresponsible. If they knew they had that money, we had that money, they'd spend it. Or I'm not sure my marriage is going to survive, so I'm hiding the money or keeping the money separate. So, you know, I got something. We hear that too. That's a big issue. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality. I will say this. If you're in a marriage where you guys are going to be there and you're going to work on this marriage, I really encourage you not to hide money, because it hurts. And you're going to hear stories to that effect here today, I think. I do think. 888-888-1717 is my number. Love to hear what you think on this, what you've learned, and maybe we can help someone else. 888-888-1717.
You can do this. You can raise your kids without raising your voice. You can raise responsible adults. Learn the secrets of intentional parenting, including five things your kids need to know before leaving home at Parents Night Out.
Indeed, it's going to be a fantastic evening. And we're taking the tour around the country, starting in Albuquerque in just a month, October 2nd, and then moving to Midland the following week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be Midland, Jackson, and Flint, and then to Phoenix area, Mesa and Phoenix, October 23, 24, and then Tucson. We wrap it up November 6th. I promise you, you're going to leave from this event motivated and instructed. Life is tough today. The culture is just wearing us down when it comes to family and what we believe as Christians that God's intention is for our family. And you've got a tough job as a parent. We want to encourage you. Years of experience helping you be intentional. If you're not registered, I hope you will. Get registered today. This is the month to do it. September. All right. Go to theintentionallife.com to register today. That's theintentionallife.com. And to make sure you got your tickets. We're going to have a fantastic Parents Night Out, and we want you to be a part of it.
This is Karen. My husband and I thought everything was going fine until one day I found out that he had been having his own credit cards, and we were $100,000 in debt. And so he had been lying to me for a couple of years, and we had no idea. And because I do love him and my trust in God, and still my trust in him, even though our world was rocked, I decided to intentionally love him. And we are working things out by the grace of God. Thank you for being there.
You know, thank you. You know, it's such a self-inflicted wound, isn't it? It's really a self-inflicted wound because you have the debt. It's there. I mean, it's not going to go away. Now you just have to figure it out by yourself. Unfortunately, that's very painful. Okay, Nathan is on the line in Arizona. I think you have a question for me, huh, Nathan?
Well, I just had a comment with hiding anything from your spouse. I would feel this would just be a gateway to open up even more.
Yeah.
I mean, to become one flesh, you're not supposed to keep secrets from each other. So where does it stop? I mean, if you start it now with something like just hiding $10, $20, $100 from your spouse, where is it going to end?
Mm-hmm.
And how would you feel if they did it to you?
Well, those are great questions. I think those are great questions, Nathan. I think people would probably respond, you know, my spouse is irresponsible, or they tend to overreact, or if they knew I had this money, you know, they wouldn't allow me to spend it. Others would say this: hey, listen, I hear this a lot. I've earned the money. I have a right to spend it the way I want. Or we have separate accounts. She spends what she wants. He spends what he wants, and they don't have to be accountable to each other. A lot of people approach this differently, but I think at the core of this problem, Nathan, as you suggest, to me, is the issue of a lack of trust or a lack of honesty. Whenever we get to a place where we're intentionally hiding anything, let's face it, are you watching movies in your home where your spouse walks in, you got to shut it off, or a book you're reading, you got to close, or a phone conversation or something on your Facebook, would you want your spouse to see what you're doing online? I mean, anything that we're doing that would cause us to have to be intentional in terms of hiding it from our spouse, I think is an underlying problem. And certainly this is an evidence of a big one that I think leads to bigger issues in a marriage. I agree.
Yeah, and then the other, with your comment about, well, I earned it. Well, it's like my wife and I, whenever we first got married, we both had our own careers. We both had our own jobs, and we were making our own, we were supplying for ourselves. Well, then we had a daughter that has special needs. And so my wife is a stay-at-home mom now because both of us could not maintain a working schedule with all the doctor's appointments and therapies and everything else. So what makes me any better than her? What, you know, she gave up her career to watch our kid, to raise our kid. And for me to turn around and say, well, this is my money, that would be wrong because she works herself. She has a full-time job, and that's our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I help out too, but she's there for doctor's appointments. She's there for everything for our daughter.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, she has as much a part of the money that I go to work for as I do.
Hey, listen, I'm on the same page with you. The two becoming one flesh, I think, extends into this area. I'm not a legalist when it comes to the fact that some people manage better to have separate accounts and so on. That doesn't upset me so much or concern me as much as when people do that and it's hidden and there's not a shared understanding of how the money's being used, not on the same page. Okay, thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it. Let me jump over to April. April, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Appreciate it. What's your question or comment today?
Well, my husband has a disability. He's a retired Marine,
uh-huh.
And he has combat PTSD, which causes him to go on highs and lows. And when he hits his highs, he's constantly spending.
Mm-hmm.
He's spent already. He's redone his carpentry workshop four times already, each time about 10 grand. And every time I try to save money back for a rainy day or something happens, you know, we want to make sure we have a few bucks back. He always comes up with something else that he needs, a new tool
yeah.
or a new thing. And so it's kind of hard for me to balance the budget and to keep things under control the way I need to. You know, take care of the household
mm-hmm.
when he's pulling from the savings account constantly
sure.
To buy a new gadget he may need when he's on his highs.
Well, at the end of the day, April, I mean, you know this, you know, bite you. It's going to come back and bite you now. Maybe this is something that the two of you need to talk with together, maybe with his counselor, if he's finding this to be a challenge that when he gets, as you call it, on his high, where he wants to do these things and he's spending a lot of money, which people do sometimes when they get real excited about something emotionally and otherwise, they overspend and it creates a problem. And I think what's the key here, April, is for you and your spouse to when he's not in that position, maybe the two of you, when everything is kind of calm and easy, to sit down and agree that you're going to put a budget together and you're going to have some accountability. Because ultimately, if we don't focus on the big goals, where do you want to be in a year or 5 years? What about kids and grandkids? And what about education? And what about potential for retirement? If we don't think a little bit more long term and we just do it in the immediate, what happens is, well, there won't be anything down the road. And so it's a matter of getting on a budget together. But I think April's call brings up a question about if you're married to a person and they just, well, maybe not only refuse, but they just can't stop. I think then we got to sit down and really talk about what mechanisms can we put in place that we can at least agree that before any spending occurs, this is going to happen, or put a limit on a credit card. Some people, you shouldn't have those kinds of things available. Credit cards, for instance, if you get rid of them, then you got to work on cash. If you work on cash and you work on an envelope system, it's not in the envelope, then we don't spend it. And I think when the accessibility is so easy for people to get a hold of their money, if there's a way of making it more difficult to get to your money, sometimes that second thought will help you not to to overreact and spend too quickly and too much.
Hi, Randy. My name is Erin, and I was calling to let you know how my husband and I are doing our money intentionally. We have started giving to the church, of course, the 10%, and also we have been giving ourselves an allowance for groceries each month, so we would cut back on that, just some extra spending, so that we can start getting out of debt, so we can give beyond our 10%, give more to the missionaries, and just give back. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I love your show. I think it's great. I think it's very inspirational in itself, and I love you guys. Thanks.
Well, you're very welcome. And, you know, it's a cooperative effort that God intends for us to have in our marriages and our relationship. And, you know, I think my experience in working with people over the years and couples is that all marriages have points where there's a weakness, a potential for weakness. Because we're human beings, for some it can be poor communication, which tends to be at the root of all of the issues. Sometimes it can be in the money, in the area of money. Sometimes it can be in the area of family, where there's a disagreement over, you know, relationships within the family, and that creates tension. I think it's acknowledging the fact that we are weak people. We all are vulnerable. I encourage people in our marriages, in marriage, to look to the strength of your spouse. If your spouse is better with money than you are, stronger with being disciplined with money than you are, submit to them. The Bible even says, submit to one another out of respect and honor for God in Ephesians chapter 5. And I don't see anything wrong with a man who might have a challenge of overspending to say, you know, I'm going to submit to my spouse to let her have a more active role and help put into place some things that would keep me from overspending. Not carrying credit cards or debit cards or things in my pocket that can cause me to overspend. Limiting to a cash basis and working on a budget where there's so much allocated in the week and that's it. I mean, this is not rocket science. It comes back to the basics, following the basics. Okay, Leanne in New Mexico. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment today?
Mine was, I was the one that was hiding the money.
Why'd you hide it?
It was for security's sake.
Uh-huh.
Not that there was any insecurity in the relationship. It was more like, for me personally, to have money set aside. I didn't go into debt. I had money just weaseled away. And we're talking about quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a little bit of amount. And what I ended up finding out was that it really wrecked my marriage. And what I mean by that is that it became my security, not my husband.
Mm.
And the more that grew, the more security I had in my bank account versus my husband or my relationship. And then the second thing is I lost respect for him. And this is the stupid part. I mean, the whole thing is stupid, but this is the real stupid. And that is that because he didn't find out, I thought he was dumb. And that's a real arrogant position to be in.
Yeah, so you outsmarted him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what happened in your marriage?
Oh, ultimately it ended. 16 years it ended.
You think this was the core of that?
We both weren't Christians, or I wasn't a Christian at that time, and so we had no common basis from which to work things through. So after the relationship ended, that's when I really decided, okay, there's got to be something better out there. So that's when I turned to God.
Hmm. Well, that would be, if you go back, that would have been a good decision for both of you earlier. What would you recommend, knowing now what you know and being there again, what would you have done differently?
I guess the big thing is trust. I trusted more in money than my husband or the relationship. Mm-hmm. And if you stick your neck out to trust God, then you're really sticking your neck out to trust your husband and trust your relationship versus that bank account.
Yeah. Wow. Everybody wants to know, how much did you hide from him?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it's about $12,000. Hmm. But I mean, this is no justification. But we ended up going on the road. We ended up in New Mexico. And I used that money to buy my property, or buy the property for us.
Hmm. Wow, interesting.
So it went to a good cause, but by a bad way.
Well, I hope somebody somewhere, Leanne, is hearing your warning. And if you feel that distrust in your marriage, you got to ask yourself, why? What's really going on? Maybe we need to focus on this marriage issue. But my guess is this is a much more pervasive issue, like you're reporting, Leanne, than probably we even hear here, because there's so much uncertainty in marriage today, unfortunately. And I think people probably see this as one thing to build up more confidence. Listen to what Leanne said, though. She put more confidence in her own stuff and outsmarting her husband. She lost respect for her husband and ultimately for marriage. Mm. Okay, Leanne, appreciate your call.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open. 1-888-888-1717. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Dear Dr. Randy, thank you for inviting my mom to Parents Night Out. I know she has a tough job to do, and I'm not always the easiest person to deal with, but she's been so different since she's come back. She listens more, doesn't raise her voice as much, and I notice her praying more for me too. I hope one day I'll be as good a parent as she is.
The Parents Night Out Conference with Dr. Randy Carlson is coming in October and November. Register today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. All right, Christine is weighing in from New Mexico today with a comment. Christine, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay. I maybe missed a little bit part of the conversation earlier as I was driving. But what I did not hear was that I was assuming, maybe I should make the assumption, that most callers are believers. And if they are, then they are forgetting who the money belongs to begin with. If you're working hard and you're saying that that's money because that's my money because I've worked hard for it, then right there you are you're stepping on God's toes, actually.
Yes,
because
that,
it's not your money, it's God's money.
And that so changes everything, doesn't it?
We need to each be asking what you want us to do with the money that you've given us or what we're not supposed to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as the church as a whole, across the whole world, that the tithing is down, and we are forgetting that that God is running the show, and we try to have our own agenda, and not to be thinking of God's agenda in furthering His kingdom. Instead, everybody wants to further their own kingdom.
Well, by the way, I totally agree with everything you said, Christine. I think for those who are listening who are not Christians, we're talking about a word called stewardship, not a word you hear much of in general today, but the Bible is very clear that we are stewards, meaning we don't own it. We're caring for it. We have a sense of almost a fiduciary responsibility to provide care for the money that's given, that the investments are done correctly, that we're giving, that we're using it the way God would have us use it. And this is true in every area of life, Christine. It's true right. In our marriage. We're stewards of our children. We're stewards of money, our house, our car, our work. Everything is a stewardship. And when we move from ownership to stewardship in our minds, it changes everything, doesn't it, in terms of how we view things?
It does. Yes, I think that I heard someone mention that it was a trust issue, that people are not trusting their partners.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a trust issue with God, that you're not trusting God, that He's going to provide.
Well, let me ask you, how do you handle
it? Give it away.
Are you married, Christine?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how do you and your husband handle money?
I mean, years ago, we've been married almost 23 years, but years ago we both sat and we emptied out our wallets and we cut up credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I would cut one up and he'd cut up the other one. And it was not so easy to do. We each have our own credit card. He has one for the business specifically. And then we each have our personal card. But we also work on having a budget. We did take a financial crown class years ago, which was one of the best things. And we realized at that time, too, that the perspective that it is all God's.
Right.
And so that does make a big difference.
Now, you guys are in agreement then with your money and how you spend your money, how you use your money, and so on?
Most of the time, I would say not necessarily 100% all the time. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever have 100% over so many years. But we discuss, you know, where our money is going to be spent. And we don't, we have a dollar amount. I think we've changed it from $50 to $100 without, that can be spent without discussing it with each other.
Right.
But overall, we do discuss. And sometimes those discussions can be heated still,
yeah.
But we have to, take a break, and then we have to go back to where is this money and where is it coming from,
yeah.
You know, and that God has blessed us with this.
I think you're right on, Christine, and here's the key. I think it's communication, and every couple is going to deal with it differently. But if we're Christians coming to the table about money and we see it as stewardship and not ownership, that changes everything. I mean, it completely changes the whole tenor of this discussion. If we're stewards, how are we going to use it? Certainly we need to be in agreement and do something that's going to honor Christ together. I think that's powerful. Okay, very good. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. Let me go to Carolyn on the line next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm in a store at the moment, and I wasn't when I first called.
That's
you.
All right.
I just felt very compelled to call when, I think it was Brenda that first was recorded coming on your show at the beginning.
Yes.
Who had spent the $30,000 on the credit card.
Right, uh-huh.
And I guess I wanted her to know, hopefully she can hear and listen, that she's not alone. Sometimes we think we're the only ones that do really stupid things like that. My story's very short. It's not exactly like hers, but my husband and I were separated for actually 9.5 years. We live in a community property state. And during that 9.5 years, I used credit cards only in my name, but it's still community property state. And I actually ran up $36,000. They were in my name, but because it's community property state, of course, he would be responsible also. And in my thinking, I never thought we would be back together, thank God. He had other wonderful plans for us. When we got back together, my husband said, no, these are our bills. And I had every intention of working it all off. That was not possible because my mother came to live with us. She was aged, and she came to live with us. And then my grandchildren did. And to make a very long story short, We also, my husband said we're just going to refinance our house, which we did, and that has been over 10 years ago. It's almost paid off, and I just want her to know God is faithful, and sometimes we think we're the only ones, you know, nobody else in the world would ever think of doing something so ridiculous or stupid and putting someone else in a spot, and God is faithful, and he'll see them through. That's
yes, he
what
does.
I wanted
He's
her to know.
Thank you, Carolyn. He's faithful and forgiving.
I am a 73-year-old widow. How am I intentional with my money? I started with my very first job as a teenager right out of school. My tithe comes out first, paying 10% of my income. I lost my job, went to school to get a further education. And the Lord has blessed me all these years.
The way that I am being intentional is I'm paying God first with my tithes. They automatically come out of my account, and then I'm paying myself next. And so I have a chunk of money that automatically comes out of my bank account for my retirement account. And a year and a half later, I have a bigger balance than I thought I ever would, and I don't even miss the money that's coming out.
Wow. Yeah, this has been a good program. I think this has been a very practical, helpful program. And if you missed any part of it, you can listen to it online. It's there for you at theintentionallife.com. It's a big topic, and I just pray for you guys if you're struggling with this. Life is so short. Life is so short. And I think the final caller there really brought it back to the process of forgiveness. I just want to close with thanking those of you who are standing with us, speaking of finances, your support. To our listener-supported ministry, we're on the air because of it. And I'd ask, how much does it mean to you in terms of what we're trying to do here? We're listener-supported, and because we know it takes support to keep us going, we intentionally use every dollar that comes in as wisely as we know how to use it for radio time and staff and programming and bringing you this Intentional Living message and our Intentional Living Center and our events and all the things that we do. And I'm asking you to pray about joining us this month and helping us catch up from where we've been, to consider a gift and a play. And if you're married, make sure you do this together, right? Pray about it together before you would respond. If you could share a gift of $100 or more to help us, we'd appreciate it, or become a new monthly member. So if you're married, get with your spouse and pray about it. And if you're single, pray about it before you'd respond. I would ask you to do that. I think that's important. But if you can, come and join us at theintentionallife.com or call 888-1717. All right? Randy Carlson here, thanking you for joining me on Intentional Living today from our center and for our whole team. I appreciate the work that goes on behind the scenes to be able to put this program on the air every day and our work with the radio stations and, of course, online around the world. Intentional Living is here to remind us that it's because of God's intentional love for us that, in turn, we can demonstrate His intentional love to our family and others around us. Find out more at theintentionallife.com and join us next time from the Intentional Living Center.